thing, don't title again.
And I did not be a little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
A stream to creating what I'm going
going
to call
in a direction
aesthetic shock
that puts you more in a reflective
feeling of some
retrospective point of
a
view.
A way to
Romantic
like a sunset hits you. So every
that's Adam Greatrix. You know him. You should know him.
The tension you're trying to.
If you don't know him, listen to Transpondency.
A state of arrest that has a characteristic of
I'm going to jump in, Adam. You'll forgive me because I've already sent you three tweets tonight saying how wonderful I think your podcast is.
Or something in reflection. Traumatic.
In reflection.
The nowness of these moments.
Nowness and all that stuff. No, I've got another agenda. I've got a fucking agenda I've got to get out there, Adam, and you'll understand this when I say welcome to the Dixon James podcast number 401.
It's a
fuck you.
Some of the ideas I'm brainstorming. A fulcrum.
Fuck anybody who was looking for a break. We thought, oh, good, I can stop listening and catch up. Fuck you!
Really, or rasp, right?
There is no stopping.
Kind of to turn you in and have.
There is no fucking break. You need a break? Take a fucking break on your own time, buddy. Not on my fucking time.
Future, you know.
When I need a break, I'll take a break. When you need a break, you take a break. Simple as fucking that. Oh, hey, whoa. Boys, girls. Sorry, Adam, I gotta cut you back a little here, okay? Boys, girls, if you knew, if you just met me in a bar and I said, hey, you just gotta Google Scarrel, dude, and you'll find me. Or you look at Jason James! Jason James! You'll find me. Now, what you've just heard, of course, is me, at my worst, thinking, oh, dear, I thought you were giving up this jolly little thing you do for a holiday, and here you are, blasting tilt-milt, full tit, right at it. What you'd be better off spending your time doing would be listening to Adam Greatrix, Suburban Transpondency, and others, playing great music, like you're hearing now. This is him. We're listening to him. I'm in my car. I'm at the Gold Station parking lot. We're listening to Adam Greatrix on his podcast, and he's going to talk one fuck of a lot about that Canadian smart-ass University of Toronto professor, you know, short hair. I don't know if he had a mustache or not. You know the guy, I mean, smart guy. Talked about the medium as a massage. Anyway, welcome. A rough welcome to Dixon Jane's podcast number 401. God damn. If you're new, stop right now, go back, listen to a previous episode. And get a little more information before you decide to judge me, okay? Assholes. Brian and I met up at the Only Cafe tonight. I'm going to tell you this because what else can I do? And we had a fucking blast. We traded very intimate stories about our lives, our families, our brothers, our wives, our lives, how they unfolded. And Brian used the term, is it happen chance? And I said, Brian, I don't think there's a word happen chance. I think there's happenstance. But no happen chance. And it went on from there. And then we met Vince, married to a Japanese woman. Hi, Vince. Then another guy, Rick, I think it was Rick, and his wife, who said, "Hey, buddy boy, time to get out of here." And a half a dozen other people, including the bartenders. Wonderful fucking time at the only cafe. You're saying, dude, if you're going to come back after episode 400, you got to do something with a little bit of class. You know, show us that it was worthwhile. Fuck you. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. I'll come back any goddamn way I want to come back. Fuck you, cocksuckers. Oh, sorry. That was a little over the top. But what I mean is, don't tell me what to do. Don't put pressure on me. Don't make me feel I have to behave in a certain way or sound like I have a certain level of intelligence. Fuck you. I'm just the way I have to be because that's the way I gotta be. Okay? We'll stop there. Get back to our good buddy.
If there is one phrase in present-day intellectual life that earns almost unanimous approval, surely it is this: everything is connected. We admire nothing more than the ability to see connections between apparently disconnected things. Every event in the contemporary world seems to speak in favor of interconnectivity.
I love it, I love it.
Convergence, super-powerful communications media, the new cosmopolitanism, and the nested feedback loops of climate change.
I think it's true.
The idea of autonomous individual things existing in isolation from each other now sounds like the crusty old philosophy of fossilized bishops and patriarchs out of touch with the latest trends.
That's why I gotta listen to Transformers.
This individual proposes a contrary view.
Adam Greatrix.
One of the best ideas Ted Nelson ever had was the notion of ideas once but no longer liberating. Ideas, like fruits, have moments of peak ripeness when they are best consumed, and later moments when their taste is less fresh and wholesome. It is my view that the idea that everything is connected is an idea once but no longer liberating, an idea that has become too easy, like an advertising jingle stuck in the brain.
Wow.
In attempting to convince you of this view, I will be speaking of Marshall McLuhan, though somewhat differently from usual.
Yeah.
May or may not have read in great detail.
Adam Marshall.
The media theory quickly turns into metaphysics, the study of ultimate reality, and the metaphysics is beginning to teach us that not everything is connected. We are still too close to the 20th century to understand it adequately. But when historians a century or two in the future begin to stabilize our conception of the period from 1901 to 2000, there are a number of key figures who will almost surely be part of the story. It is hard to imagine Einstein and Bohr not looking like key figures in physics or Picasso in visual arts. Though Freud has come under punishing assault by psychiatry and even by other psychoanalysts, it is hard to imagine a future in which Freud's breakthroughs into the human psyche look trivial, even if they are rejected. Perhaps more controversially, my bet is on Heidegger to emerge as the consensus great philosopher of the 20th century, all political baggage notwithstanding. If I were allowed to add just one additional name to this list, especially if I were discouraged from being cautious, my choice would be Marshall McLuhan. Though McLuhan is not the central topic of this lecture, a few of his major ideas will be important. The most basic idea of McLuhan can easily be summarized as the medium is the message, a claim that goes much deeper than any of McLuhan's specific remarks about television or graffiti on atomic bombs. The medium is the message tells us that while the human intellect tends to focus on the surface effects of things, on the content of good and bad television shows rather than the transformative effects of television as a medium, what is truly important is the unnoticed background medium in which this content of television unfolds. More generally, at least in the West, the intellect focuses on whatever can be stated or argued in the form of clear verbal propositions, rather than on the background assumptions lying behind all such statements. What is important, according to this view of the world and of thinking, is whatever can be made clear and explicit. The rest is vague and fuzzy nonsense. The McLuhan standpoint, however, is exactly the opposite. What is important is not whatever is clear and explicit in any moment. Instead, what is important is whatever is obscure and implicit. Television, video games, or the romantic or nihilistic spirits of a given era lie in the background of our experience, unquestioned. In 1988, Eric McLuhan published Laws of Media, a work co-authored with his father Marshall, who had died 8 years earlier.
I gotta stop there.
The theme of this book is the tetrad, the fourfold structure of all media as enhancement, obsolescence, retrieval, and reversal.
I'm going to ask you to go ahead at this point, as I reclaim my podcast, and tell you to go and listen to Adam Greatrix, episode number 202, but all of them. Adam is a very, very interesting guy. I'm going to be speaking at more Northern Voice, I believe. Once again, a plug, if you don't have a chance to go to Northern Voice in British Columbia, you can come to Hamilton for Vox Pox Cox sometime in late July. Google it. All right, we're ending here. Dixon James Podcast, it's a go. It's a show. It's a podcast. Bye for now.
Ralph, the time has come. The time has come to go out of your mind. Are you ready, Ralph? Are you ready to die and be reborn? No. No, first, you must be in a state of grace. First, you must examine yourself in this mirror of confession. What do you see there? Your personality. All your goals and your fears, your little ambitions. The chess game of your life. You have to check that, Ralph. You can't take that on a trip with you. And then that other side of you, Ralph, that dark, unconscious, all those animal impulses which you hide and keep down below. All this baggage, too, must be checked. You can't take that on the billion-year voyage to God. Are you ready? take this chalice, the elixir of life, the ancient cup, the Holy Grail, the alchemist's stone of philosophy, the Holy Communion, the key to immortality. Take this and drink.
Listening to the Scarborough dude on the way up here as I was trying to find this, as I was lost and I actually just stumbled on this and I thought, hell with it, I'll just go here. And he's struggling with I guess he's already recorded number 400, but I was listening to number 399 and I can't stop it. The bugs get me. They just land on me. They're not really doing anything. And so he's struggling with whether to end his podcasting block. He was saying it's like his novel he never wrote. Whether to end it at 400 or not. So we'll see. I haven't listened to number 400, but we'll see if he's ended it or not. I bet you he hasn't. I know I would have trouble. I would struggle with that. I hope never to end doing this. It's become a really rich, fulfilling, and weird part of my life. But I've come to terms with how weird it is. I know it's just strange to be out in the bushes talking to yourself, but, you know, and I walk by people and I'm yapping away. And that doesn't really bother me anymore. Who cares what people think, right? I think it's an age thing. But I really enjoy it. I feel... I don't know. I was thinking about a lot of things on the way up here. Scarborough dude gets you thinking about yourself. Ken, you're a really, really interesting guy. You have a lot of knowledge in that 65-year-old head of yours. And I'd love to, you know, at one point he was talking about the history of a place. And he said, oh, I won't give you a history lesson. And I kind of wish he had. I wanted to know. It was about Perth, I think. Oh, I see. I'm right back to where I started. That's too bad. I'm overlooking this pond, and it's just really pretty, and but it's going right back to where I was. So I think maybe I'll turn around. I think I will turn around and go where I was going to go in the first place. Anyway, yeah, Ken, it's really interesting listening to that. How are you?
Morning.
Hey, guy. Hello. Beautiful. That's okay. That's what dogs do.
Yep. Hey. Come on. Hey.
Yeah, so I was thinking about a lot of... He just gets you... Ken gets you thinking about deep thoughts with a Z. And, I don't know, I guess I was thinking about... You know what it was? He was playing a song. He doesn't care about copyright. He just plays whatever songs he wants. And he was playing... he was an old crooner. Everybody, or you're nobody until somebody loves you or whatever. And I was thinking about that, and as I never do, because I don't care about lyrics. I don't listen to them ever, but for some reason I was listening to paying attention to the lyrics. And the song was Nobody, you're nobody till somebody loves you. And I get that. It's true. And, you know, I've my kids who love me, my parents love me, and I've been in relationships, so I don't feel like, oh, I've failed. But I also think part of what I love about podcasting is similar to what Ken was saying. It's like cementing into reality your life. You know, if you're not, you know, I'm alone and I'm not sharing this with anyone but you, but that doesn't matter. Like, that's, to me, just as good. At least it's, I find it fulfilling, weird as it is. End up a hill.
In the background,
hey, Robin.
You would have heard Dave from Chub Creek. Oh boy, thanks, Dave. Timing is just so incredibly weird. Okay, where to start? Well, as you know, if you're subscribed, this is the podcast after number 400. Several of you would have guessed I will just keep on going. You probably know me better than I know me. And by the way, apologies for the introductory clip to this podcast, if I include it. I feel obliged to include it because I really sounded stupid and ignorant, and I'm embarrassed to present myself that way. But I think it's dishonest not to own up to the fact that's how I get sometimes. 5 pints of beer and a few tokes, you know, you're going to get crazy. I got to talk more about that, too, if I can remember. Because I'm in a course on addiction, and I've been doing a lot of analysis as to whether or not I am addicted to alcohol, to pot, to certain behaviors, this podcast, for example. And I don't think I am. I mean, I lived most of my years in Japan, with the exception of maybe twice. I never smoked pot the whole time I was there. It just didn't matter. It was a no-no. It was taboo. It wasn't worth the risk. And I didn't feel any need. I certainly drank because it was a drinking culture. It was part of your job almost, part of a job description. But again, you know, you don't miss days of work. I just never let alcohol really take control of my life. I drink to enjoy this last, that clip you heard. I just can't imagine a better time than sitting at the bar, talking to the bartender, reading through the book, deciding what pint you're going to try next, and just, he'd give us samples, and you'd, ooh, gee, yeah, that's not bad. I think I'll go for that one. And then, you know, 4 pints is really my limit. 5 is sort of a crowning achievement. Not really. 5 is too much, but I sometimes go there. And, of course, Brian and I, we keep pace with each other. I think I concluded, I listened to an alcoholic today, or a recovering addict today, in depth, go on about his life and where alcohol took him. And I'm not that kind of person. It's, some people can drink and not be controlled by it. I do have control of my life. I don't smoke pot around home at all. I never smoke pot at home during the week at all. So if I go out to a bar on the weekend, I know I'll enjoy my conversations that much more after a little toot. And that's why I do it. And at home, I'll enjoy really one nice pint in the evening. If that, last night during a hockey game, didn't have any. Night before, probably I didn't, but, you know. And then if I got a bottle of wine open, I might have a couple of glasses of wine, but never having beer and wine in the same evening. So I've, you know, I'm not an alcoholic. Gee, how did I get onto that? Sidetracked, I guess, huh? Anyway, Dave, I came down, oh boy, it's been kind of a struggle to come at you. I've gone out a few times in the car and I said, you're not allowed to bring your recorder. And I didn't. And finally today, during class, all listening to a dictionary, I was, come on, dude, loosen up. There's no reason. You don't have anything to prove. And I think there was some really mixed feelings. I think partly there's a feeling of embarrassment about this podcast, like it isn't good enough. And, you know, again, it's not false humility. It's just maybe I want it to be something more. Maybe there's just I waste a lot of time. I don't know. Maybe I'd like it to be more focused. I'd like to be doing more with it. I don't, and maybe that's ridiculous. But that's the way I feel sometimes. There was another part of me saying, listen, you've tempted people by saying you're going to put an end to it. And I think there's a lot of people out there who'd be glad if I did, just so they can have a break and listen to something else. And but I just, there was just enough dribbles and drabs of people and tweets and references, and one from Dave Delaney today, and echoed by Ed in Montreal, and then Chub Creek Dave's reference saying, you know, for a 65-year-old brain, I got a lot of stories and knowledge, and it made me feel very good. And I think the little experiment in stopping is over. It's not even, you know, I did that Friday and today is Tuesday. So it didn't last long. You won't go a week without a Dixon Janes podcast episode. I'll apologize no further. That's just the way it is. Again, that wasn't a game. That wasn't me fishing for compliments. That was just me thinking I had to think through this. Partly, this course I'm in, it's so good. And we have to keep this journal. And because there are people in the course who are recovering addicts, people whose lives have really gone to some rough places, and here they are now, sitting in class, and I'm in their class. I feel like I'm the outsider, but I've been permitted to join, much like when I came to group therapy, and they made it clear, first day of group therapy, you don't get in here unless you bare your soul. You know, we're not going to open ourselves up and be vulnerable if you're not. So the rules of the game, and you come in here, you don't fuck around, you don't play games, you don't hold back. And although that's never been said in this course, there's a feeling you better be honest, you better be open. So when I write my journals, knowing only the teacher, who I have a great respect for, a terrific woman, a real boy, she's comfortable in her own self, I don't hold back. And it's caused me to look at my marriage more carefully than I have. Let me get on to that, too. It's caused me to look at my relations with my children, but it's certainly caused me to look at myself in a new way. That's part of the course, is if you're counseling people, you got to be comfortable in your own skin. You got to know what your boundaries are, what your sensitive issues are. You've got to feel safe with who you are. And this course has been tremendously therapeutic. And the more I go on with it, the stronger it made me feel. I've got to come back to podcasting. Fuck that quitting business. I owe this to you because I do think I have something to share. And part of it's my open spirit. The other thing is we did some role-playing last week. And I got right into it with a woman who knows a hell of a lot about ADD. And today she came in with papers on ADD and the good and the bad. And basically seeing it as a good thing, you know, the advantages, the good side of having ADD. And when I look at those symptoms, holy shit, how come I didn't know this about myself? And it really does explain a lot, whether or not you believe. I mean, this isn't a disease or a sickness, or it's just these are I don't know how you describe it. Oh, it's not a character flaw either. These are just, maybe they're just traits. And the fact that my son has them, and this is the wonderful thing about being educated by your own children, you know, how much they teach you about yourself. My wife teaches me an awful lot about myself, and too often it's things I just don't want to know. We just had another run-in on Mother's Day and after Mother's Day. And again, it is embarrassing to own up to it. Well, I hadn't done anything special. I just said, well, you know, should we go out to eat? Let's not go out to eat because Mother's Day, the restaurants are packed, but maybe we could at least order sushi. And we did that. We had our wonderful $30 maki tray from Ichiban Sushi, which is great, up on Pharmacy and Ellesmere. And I thought, okay, didn't buy her anything. Maybe I'll stay home. Instead of podcasting to you, I'll stay home and do some chores. And I told you but last week I got this quote for the tree, and that just turned out to be a disaster because it wasn't what she wanted. Well, she wanted this one linden tree trimmed back, the one right beside our deck. Somehow, I didn't fully get that, and I thought she wanted it chopped down. So for Mother's Day tree... oh, boy. For Mother's Day treat, I got my son with a saw to cut that tree down with you. Now, we're talking about a tree that's at least 15 feet high. This was a big tree. It sprouted up pretty damn quickly. And there's nothing left of that tree. There's about 1 foot stump left in the ground. And as we got into a discussion the next day about, okay, the need to communicate better and prioritize things and stuff like budgeting and what needs to be fixed around the house and how this is a joint operation, etc., etc., she made it very clear she had never wanted that tree cut down. She had only wanted it trimmed back so it'd be a little bit shorter. I find it funny on one end for Mother's Day. You know, everybody else is coming home with nice flowers and I'm cutting down a tree. I guess it's not that funny, but Barnacle Bill didn't think so, and I shared it with him, but then he doesn't have the same sense of humor, and he's pretty rough on me, too. There's another guy who shows me things about myself I don't really want to hear. It's much nicer if you think of yourself as a really nice person. And that's just not always the way it is. I do try and present the better side of myself to you. Yes, there are. You may be hearing some background noises. I'm at Bluffers Park. I'm at the point. The cat area. Let's walk back to the car, okay? So here I am, and here I will be. We're going to get to number 500 together. That's a promise. I do get mentioned quite often sometimes on in reference, in a very rude and offensive way, I might add, by Anthony, Dr. Dave, and Bob Goyette sometimes when they do their podcasting episodes. And I think they're making a little bit fun of me in terms of the dude once again going on. Should I quit or should I keep going on? Again, I wear that as a badge of honor. It's nice to have other people talk about you and remember you. But in truth what? In truth, I really do want to share. I really do. This course and the decision I explained probably ad nauseum how I ended up taking this course that I'm in now, what seemed like a random path, was something that was destined to be, and I just can't imagine. And that's what's so weird about life sometimes, that things that just seem like, well, how the fuck did you end up here? It's where you're supposed to be, but how did you get here? Like, you could have gone so many other ways, and I could so easily have not taken this course. And I guess, of course, I wouldn't know the difference. It wouldn't matter. But the fact that I am in it makes me so glad to be doing that. And now I'm thinking down the road of combining the skills that I've got in my counseling, that I'm learning in counseling, with my life experience, and especially with regards to marriage and children, and my mediation training and experience, and thinking maybe I really could help out some people by creating the atmosphere where people feel safe to talk and open up and help them look at their own life in the way I'm trying to look at mine and look at their marriage. You know, if I was in a perfect marriage, I wouldn't be as good at it as I think I could be now. Of course, the fact is, I should be using any skills or knowledge I have to be a better father, a better husband. But those are the toughest roles you're ever going to get to play in your life. You know, it's easier doing all the other things that we're expected to do in life. But family is tough. And if you don't think it is, well, you know something I don't know. Or you don't know something I do know. One of those things. Anyway, I'm gonna stop there. I am still a little self-conscious about wasting your time, and I don't want to. But my decision, even today, to come down here and carry on with this podcast, like I've finally passed that hurdle of I don't care anymore about stopping. It really did mean something for a long time. Well, a long time, a few days, that I felt I had to prove something to myself that I could stop. And believe it or not, I feel I already did that. Yeah, I proved I could stop. And then I proved it was a stupid test to give yourself, to give myself. Why? Why did I have to? And I worked that through. And now here I am, carrying on, as probably some of you knew all along. I'm looking at my notes here. Is it about strength versus weakness? And maybe that was one of the questions. Am I strong enough to quit? And then, you know, is this... I guess it just doesn't matter. You know, why ask yourself? Or, you know, why put yourself to that test? Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. But I don't feel the need at this point to quit. So I'm going to try. I am back at you. I am going to try and, you know, at least maybe be a little less stupid. I don't know. Maybe actually try and be a little better at sharing a little more clearly. I realize one thing. I love to, and I've hardly dug into it at all. I've hardly scratched the surface. And that is my years in Vancouver, the 70s in Vancouver. Holy shit. Those years stand out in a way of fun, but holy Christ, those were drinking years, boy. And it's not that I'm proud of it. It's just, it's a whole other area. Maybe they're just so far away in time. That's a little harder to catch them up. I think that was another thought I had. Well, why don't I just stick, instead of always this now, you know, these classes, what I'm doing with my life now, why isn't this more about stories from the past? And I just find that very difficult to do. So, all right, enough analyzing. And again, apologies for the opening clip here. But I think if I don't include that, I'd be dishonest. So there you go, Scarpa Dude. Back at you. And see you real soon.
My children, and you're screaming at my wife, get off of my bed.
Yeah. Hope you enjoyed that little bit of Jimmy. I'm talking to you now from a park. Can't remember the name of this park, but it's just off Front Street. Right downtown Toronto, if you know the city. Not far. Stumbling distance from the Say What, where I'm supposed to be right now, but I'm just delaying the trip a little. Sitting in front of a fountain. It's a very, very nice park. And you look around and you see all these tall high-rises, you know, bank buildings and lawyers' offices. And I'm just coming from one. It's probably the last meeting I'm chairing of the Canada-Japan Society. We are making plans for our June AGM, at which I will step down. And I'm excited about that. Today I was deliberately a bit of an asshole, teasing, making fun of people, making jokes. Yeah, that was okay doing that. No harm meant. I'm at this park because three of the members have already gone ahead. Another one is joining them. And what I like to do, so that I don't have to deal with a waitress who's not very friendly, I hate the service at the Say What, is I go straight to the bar and I talk to the bartender and I check what's on tap and what do they have. And I order and I pay for a pint. And that way, if I want to leave after my one pint and catch the 1013 Lakeshore East home, I can do that. But also, another reason for being in the park is sometimes I'll come here and I'll just light up what remains of a jay. And of course, I fished into my recording bag where I keep my my nice Ronson lighter and two or three joints in various stages of smokedness, whatever. And I thought, no, dude, talk to these folks before you light up, because you know you're not going to make a whole lot of sense after you do. You're just going to go off on these damn tangents and they're going to think you're an asshole. And I don't want you to think I'm an asshole. I'm a little embarrassed about that. I do reveal myself, we can say warts and all, of, you know, my weaker moments, my stupider moments. And it's not that I want to take myself so seriously or appear so cool or so together in front of you, but I don't want to appear like a jerk. I really don't want people laughing at me that much. Laughing with me, okay. At me, not so good. I've really been doing so much reflection since starting this course. And if you've listened to the, you know, if you listen to these podcasts in sequence, you'll follow the patterns. And you'll see how this random signing up for a course has led me to being in a very wonderful place. I love the fact that we have to do a journal every day of every class. And doing today's journal, in today's class, I started thinking back to my mediation and how I'm going to couple counseling and mediation together. And in the process of doing that, I recalled, hey, wait a minute. I used to have a mediator's blog when I first got really keen on mediating back 2007. I made a blog, same thing. And so today I was able to link the two in my post to my teacher for her eyes only, talking about my reflections on how I can see the possibility of combining counseling with mediation, especially with regards to sort of maybe new Canadian families who come over and have a lot of trouble with their younger children not following old country rules. And I think I might be good at that. And so today I actually joined, in a way, the two blogs together. I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of that I actually did this stuff. I forget so often. I think all this ties in, of course, to the fact that I do have signs of ADD. And so I'll start something, I'll get really fired up and really excited, and then I'll let it die. Just the excitement fades away and I need to be onto something new. I've always thought that I'm really self-aware. Like, I really know who I am, where I'm coming from. And as I go through this process of, you know, some self-analysis, I'm realizing, wow, maybe that's not really all that true. Maybe there's a whole lot of things about myself I don't know yet. And I think there's some irony to that in the fact that I've talked about putting out 400 podcasts of spilling my guts. That at the end of it, I'd have to say, well, actually, I really don't know myself all that well. So that's all I want to tell you, share with you right now. I am going to light up this, Jay. I'm not going to share it with you. Well, for now, anyway. I'm going to go and join my friends in the bar after a toot. Conversation will be that much more interesting. Oh, yeah, that's one of the things I did have to write about. Was, you know, this business of me quitting at 400. When I do that, I also think about, okay, should I just quit alcohol? Should I, you know, I mean, remember a couple of years ago, should I quit meat? Okay, well, that didn't work. Should I quit alcohol? And I realized, no. Should I quit dope? No, because it's not really a problem, and I enjoy it. And I think that's the conclusion I've come to with Dixon Jane's, the podcast. It's not really a problem, and I enjoy it. So why the hell should I? Why did I impose this on myself? So there you have it. Maybe that amounts to nothing. Maybe that's just a little bit of self-indulgence, equivalent to masturbating, but that's what I've given you, and that's what you're getting. I'll talk to you in a little while. And meanwhile, it's my turn to go rooty-tooty-too. Bye for now.
We're sharing the mic, so it's not the same thing.
Yeah, it's different.
When you're alone, you have to have a rhythm, and your ideas have to flow.
Yeah.
Like Scarborough dude, he's the best at that.
You know, he's thinking of switching. He just did episode 400.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's thinking of switching up and actually not podcasting so much anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I think he thinks that he's said what he had to say, and that he rambles on too much, and that
he repeats himself.
Well,
he finds himself repeating himself.
Sort of, I think. I mean, you know, he also. I mean, it's just like I think it was 400. Excuse me. Seemed like a random number, so a place to stop.
He won't be able to.
No, in fact, he was saying that he didn't think he'd gonna stop. He'd keep doing something. So.
It's not bad. It's not harmful. It's
just
talking.
That's right.
What's wrong with that?
And I got back into listening to him the last 4 or 5 months. And when I go for my walk at night, there's nobody better to listen to when it's all quiet and dark out than him.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I like listening to a lot of other things, and I like listening to music, and I like listening to Tech News Today, and I like listening to Best Episode Ever, the show I do with Bob and Anthony. I actually do love listening, because that's actually fun to listen to, because we're having a good time. But, or listen to us, you know. But,
back
just one
to
guy
me,
talking to you, even if he's, you know, sometimes kind of half out of his fucking mind, is still pretty good, right? He's really good. It's like he's, and you know, like I know him well enough that when he's talking, it just feels like it's like he's talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's nice to hear. Thank you,
Dave. He's certainly authentic, as they say as people say in podcasting conferences. He really has a voice of authenticity.
He has a quiet disposition, and
that surprises me.
No, sometimes he gets mad, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But even when he does, it's not violent. It doesn't hurt.
Not usually. No, that's right. Not usually.
No.
Anyway,
I told Serene to listen to him because.
What, to listen to the dude?
Yeah, because he's
nice.
A good, good inspiration and a good place to start if. Because Serene wants to start doing his own thing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Serene, if you're listening. Yeah. Hello, shout out to you.
I could only think of Scarborough Dude.
Serene should come to
thank you.
Vox PopCon in Hamilton, Ontario, July 12th to 14th. That's what he should do.
Yeah. If he's not
good call.
Busy, he's planning on moving to New York, so.
Fox Popcan. Bob Popcan, I think is what it's called. Anyway, it's a conference I'm going to in Hamilton on, I think, July 12th to 14th.
Good. See you there, Dave.
And it should be fun.
It should be fun. It's going
to
be a blast.
I do look forward to it.
All right.
And I'm pretty sure I'm speaking.
Thanks. Pretty sure you're speaking. Well, it's up to Anthony. All right. Thanks very much. I really appreciate that. It's wonderful to hear, to know that, holy shit, some of the big names in this business actually tune into the Dixon Jane Show from time to time. Holy Christ, does that ever make you feel good. Now, this business about repeating myself, running out of things to say, being out of my mind sometimes, I guess I should take those comments in the spirit in which they were intended, which was all good-natured and good fun. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Deal with that. I'm just winding down this podcast, number 401, and if anybody believed for a minute, as I did, that I was going to put an end at 400, well, surprise, surprise. We're back, and on she goes. I'm doing a lot more reflection. I really want to share stuff with you that's of some value. I just don't want to be filling your ears with words and, you know. I'd rather get hold of you somehow and maybe provoke some thought. I tried doing that in class today with somebody, you know. There are people there sorting through issues as I did when I was very young. And it's amazing when I go back and I'm thinking, holy shit, it was 40 years ago I went through group therapy in Vancouver, you know, just getting myself sorted out. And how profound a change that marked in my life. And yet, here I am 40 years later, still trying to get my shit together, still trying to sort out who I am and what makes me tick. Anyway, I think I got to go sit in a bench. I'm sitting in my car now here at Thompson Park. I think we got to sit in a bench, and I'm going to try and close this off with something of value. So stay tuned. Just a sec, okay? Yeah, it was too windy out to record outside, so we're back in my car. I think, because I made such a lot of noise about maybe stopping podcasting for a while, that I'm a little more self-conscious right now, and I got to get past that hurdle to not caring anymore. I sat on the bench and I was looking at dandelions, which reminds me, God damn it, got a lot to pull at our house. On the list of chores, I think I told you I tore up the carpet, and I haven't done anything since then to solve the problem of what to do about our upstairs, how to find contractors, get quotes, and I feel so overwhelmed by all that shit. Looking at the dandelion, I recalled a photograph I took, paid $10 or something to have a color print, and we're going back to the 60s here. I had two very, very good friends teach me photography. One was the Nova Scotia guy, and the other was Montreal Mike. And it wasn't a good picture at all, but they helped me along the way. I took another picture of some statues. I took a picture of a truck, and these guys were real experts. They were both Leica fanatics. I mean, the biggest argument, which is better, the M2 or the M3. I am so grateful from 1967, them pushing me to buy my first Leica, my first camera, and to have the gift I have today. Now I'm just snapping shots with my iPhone, but I'm still having so much fun with it. I just posted a whole lot of photos on Facebook with my new clip-on Olio wide-angle fisheye lens. Oh, it's fun. So I get my point was, they didn't judge me. They didn't say, well, you're what an asshole, you can't take pictures. And they just encouraged me. And that'd be the message I'd like to share. Do that for your friends. Do that for your children. Do that for your loved ones. You know, you got to be honest. Somehow I got the message. I realize now, years later, I can picture that framed photograph in my mind. Yeah, it wasn't very good. It wasn't very good simply because, well, it was a stupid picture of a dandelion in the middle. There was nothing artistic about it, and it wasn't razor sharp. And both these guys, there's no point in taking a picture with a Leica unless it's razor sharp. Anyway, I don't know why I thought that, other than that the message is really important. Be forgiving of people's shortcomings, right? Encourage them, help them grow. Last thing, in this class I told you that I'm learning a lot about EDD. And it's amazing the degree to which I am affected by this, you know, whether or not there even is such a real thing. We've all got these weird mixed personality characteristics and, you know, there's this collection of traits. But what I love about it, she gave me a sheet with mirror traits, it's called, and it's all the negative traits associated with having ADD, adult attention deficit, really, in this case, and the accompanying positive traits. So the negative is distractible, positive curious, impulsive versus creative, hyperactive restless versus energetic, intrusive, eager, can't stay on point, sees connections others miss, forgetful, totally involved in what he or she is doing, disorganized, spontaneous, stubborn, persistent, inconsistent, shows flashes of brilliance, moody versus sensitive. So I kind of like that. I can see how many of those. It goes on and on and on. There's a lot more information about it. But I see now how much of my life really was shaped and how this podcast reflects my ADD, why I can't stick to one thing. Why, remember when I had a bag full of pennies, or I typed out the numbers and I was going to just pick a year at random and read it to you? And I just couldn't follow through on that with any great idea. All these ideas I get, hey, guess what? I got this amazing idea I got to share with Mitch Joel. And of course, I never do. But I need that rush of adrenaline, of dopamine, or whatever, that I just, you know, live on. It gets me so excited. So anyway, I'm ending there. It's the Scarba Dude signing out. And welcome back. And forgive me for being what some of you might think wishy-washy, and I just say, fuck you. All right. Bye now. Back next week, for sure. Thank you.